This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Miami Dolphins football, live on the Miami Dolphins radio network.
Sponsored by AmeriSave, the official mortgage lender of the Miami Dolphins. Publix. To become a Publix member, visit clubpublix.com. Seminole, Hard Rock Hollywood, South Florida's ultimate entertainment destination. Ticketmaster, official marketplace of the NFL. Dolphins football, presented by the Palm Beaches.
Dolphins postgame is driven by Gunther Mazda. You got to get to Gunther Mazda here in Fort Lauderdale to experience a new Mazda SUV on 441 just north of I-595, or visit GuntherMazda.com. For car buying done your way, you got to get to Gunther Mazda. We have Teddy Bridgewater spoke to the media after the game tonight. He came into the game late in that first half. Let's go ahead and hear from the Dolphins quarterback.
Tough loss tonight, man. It's tough walking away from a game like tonight. Given the circumstances, seeing Tua, hearing the news from coach about Tua, his status, we're looking forward to just seeing him flying back home and using these next 3 days to just learn and grow from these first four games. You know, initially, man, it's complete silence, you know, because our first concern is Tua. You know, at the end of the day, man, football, you know, it's a game. But, you know, we're human beings, you know, outside of this game, and we all have feelings. So in that moment, I think you saw how everyone felt about Tua. He's, you know, the captain on his team and a leader, and guys have so much respect for him. So, you know, the silence, man, was, you know, just guys showing their concern. It was just great to see, you know, our doctors, team doctors, doing a great job of handling the situation, the trainers, everyone, and just responding.
Teddy, how tough is it being the backup quarterback, seeing the starter go down like that? You have to go through the emotions of seeing what's going on with him, but get yourself ready to come back in and play. How do you go about that?
You know, for me personally, man, it was a lot going through my mind, honestly, and it's just given that you know, against the same team, I was carted off the field, you know, so it was a lot just going through my mind, but I knew that I had to just snap and try to lead this team to a victory. I know that so many guys were, you know, counting on not only myself, but us to just go out there and finish that game and try to get a win, and, you know, ultimately we came up short.
What
What did you see from Tua throughout the week? It's not even a week, it's been like 4 days. What did you guys see from Sunday to now as he kind of got ready for this game plan?
Honestly, he's been working with the trainers. You know, they've been doing whatever they've been doing. You know, it's been a short week, so, you know, we really just had to focus on the game plan and things like that. You know, whatever he's been doing with the trainers, that's between them because, you know, it's a short week. So guys were locked in on the game plan and just wanted to go out and execute at a high level.
Do y'all have a ton of interaction throughout the week? What are you doing for your staff?
I mean, you know, we traveled yesterday, you know, so we were around each other for pretty much one day. So I don't really know, you know, Monday and yesterday. And, you know, that's what the trainers, you know, they have a job. I have a job. They'll get ready to play on Thursday. So that's what it was.
After you came in, you kind of rallied the team to a point where you had a chance late, the interception, what happened there?
It was a hot situation. I just tried to get the ball out to beat the defender. Didn't get what I wanted on it. Tried to throw it right at Mike. Just sailed a little bit, man. And it was tough, especially that it was Von Bell, too. Former teammate in New Orleans. You know, he'll talk some stuff. But, no, it was just tough, man. You know, we were fighting, battling to the end, trying to come away with a victory. Guys are sacrificing so much in that situation. And we came up short. But it's a learning situation. For me, for the team, you know, there's so many, you know, things throughout the night that happened throughout the game that we'll be able to learn from moving forward.
What was your reaction like in the locker room when you found out the tour was going to be able to play right
back again? It was a good feeling. You know, you can see, you know, guys' spirit lifted. And that was some great news, especially after the results of the game. I said, yeah, it was just some great news, man.
How hard is it to play a game after something like that happens?
You know, it can be tough, you know, and, you know, this game alone is tough. And then the things that occur throughout the course of the game that happens, you know, especially something like that tonight, it can either put you on eggshells or, you know, you can just be mentally stable and be able to just, hey, I just got a job to do. And that was my mindset tonight. Like I said, at first, it's like, man, you know. But I knew that there were a ton of men on that sideline who were depending on me to go out there and compete. So, yeah.
You talked about that game in December at Denver.
Yeah.
That struck you right away. Kind of the irony there. It was you not too long ago.
Yeah, it definitely did. And that's why, you know, I kind of stayed back a little bit and just really tried to try not to go back to December and just really lock in on, you know, what was in front of me.
When that happens, when you're being carted off, are your, as a quarterback, are your thoughts with you and yourself and what's going on with you, or are you thinking about the team and what's going on after you leave?
When you're being carted off?
Yeah.
Oh, I can't answer that because I didn't remember anything until, like, I woke up at the hospital. Yeah.
You wake up till you got to the hospital?
They said I woke up in the back of the truck, but I didn't remember nothing until I got in a CAT scan, MRI.
How scary
kind of
is that, not having a big chunk going,
blacking out, essentially? It's very scary. You know, you hear people say, oh, injury's a part of the game. That's a part of the game. That's the part of the game that sucks. You know, it's fun to compete. It's fun to score touchdowns and make plays. But it's that one side of the game that really sucks. And it's unfortunate, though. And for me, you know, I just think about my son. And one day he's going to be old enough to use Google. He's going to Google his dad, and he might see, oh, his dad getting carted off on the field, or, you know, his dad had a concussion. So, you know, all those things play in your head, and you really don't think about that until you have children, but yeah, it's just tough, man.
Did you look up and watch the replay of the Tua going down?
No, I didn't, man, and I saw him down there, and I just started throwing the football with Mike Gesicki. And was just processing everything, because I knew, like I said, at the end of the day, no matter what, I had to go out there and compete. No matter what was going through my mind, no matter how I was feeling, I just had to go out there and compete. And it was good just being back out there.
What do you think of the hit itself, the way it was
coming down? I'll have to watch it on the tape. I think I might have been looking down the field, and I didn't really see it. But, you know, I watch it on tape, and really I don't want to watch it on tape. But hopefully we can fast forward or cut it out of the system.
We'll come back on the other side of the break here and react to quarterback Teddy Bridgewater at the podium there postgame. Dolphins postgame is driven by Gunther Mazda. You've got to get to Gunther Mazda in Fort Lauderdale to experience a new Mazda SUV on 441 just north of I-595, or visit GuntherMazda.com. For car buying done your way, you've got to get to Gunther Mazda. Again, the final score from Cincinnati, Bengals 27, Dolphins 15. You're listening to the Miami Dolphins fifth quarter overtime show brought to you by the Palm Beaches.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Guess what, Dolphins Nation? When you sign up for Club Publix, you get perks, a birthday treat, and BOGO notifications. Join visitclubpublix.com. Terms and conditions apply. So, press conference consigliere, but our producers have a new name for you, Big Seth. Press God, I guess, is what we're calling you these days. Which one do you prefer?
I mean, it's nice to hear, but it feels a little uncomfortable. So, we'll stick with consigliere, but thank you for that. I mean, look, it was... You know, you could tell that Teddy was struggling with it, and certainly because he had his own experience with it. And I thought it was interesting to say that, you know, much like Coach McDaniel said, that he had a job to do, a responsibility to lead this team, and so he had to get his mind right for that. But he also didn't want to go back to that place in Denver. Yeah. He didn't want to go back to his own experiences there. So I thought that was interesting. I think that Teddy probably spoke for everyone when he said our first concern is for Tua. We're human beings outside of this game. And, you know, that really stood out to me. But ultimately, as he said, he had to try and find a way to lead the team to victory. So, you know, the rest of it was they were really pressing him to maybe get some context in a space where they couldn't ask Tua, they being the media, they couldn't ask Tua how he was feeling. So Teddy had an experience with that. He was a quarterback who got knocked out of a game. So I don't fault the media for asking those questions. But, you know, I don't want to spend a whole lot of time here on doing that. And as he said, he really didn't even remember the play. You know, You understand why concussions are so scary, and we certainly know a lot more about them now than we did 10 years ago, 20 years ago. But, you know, when he says, hey, I don't even remember what happened until I woke up in the hospital. Oh, you didn't wake up until you got to the hospital? They said I woke up in the back of the ambulance, but I don't remember anything until I got to the hospital. So that shows you what was going on there. I think it gave them some insight that they were looking for. But, again, Teddy had to get himself ready to play. That's the reality of this game. It doesn't make it any easier, but they're not going to stop the game. The clock's going to continue to run. There was still, you know, two quarters of football plus to be played, and the head coach had a responsibility to lead the team. Teddy had a responsibility to lead the offense, and he tried to get himself prepared for that, and that's what I took away from it.
It was certainly something that they all struggled with, as you mentioned. I mean, a lot of the beat reporters and guys that cover the team are you know, sending out some quotes from some of the guys they talked to after the game. Marcel Louis-Jacques from ESPN said that Tyreek Hill said at certain points in the second half, Dolphins players were asking for updates on Tua and said multiple times that their primary focus was on Tua's health. And then Cameron Wolf, NFL Network, said Dolphins wide receiver Jalen Waddle was emotional in the locker room about Tua Tagovailoa's injury. He says he was wrestling with a lot seeing his brother on the field hurt. So, I mean, obviously a big impact on these guys and tough to bounce back after a situation like that. And I think, you know, some of the shots we saw on network and things like that that just showed him on the field. That's those types of you know, visuals, I think, is what makes it the hardest part, Juice. I mean, that's, at least to me, it was.
Yeah, it's tough, man. I mean, honestly, man, these are your brothers. It's family out there. It's family. 1,000% it's family, man. These guys, you know, people see 3 hours every day of a game. You know, that's what most people see. But you don't see the countless hours these guys put in together, you know, starting in February, you know, all through OTAs, you know, and training camp and, you know, the road trips. When you see your brother out there like that, man, that's a tough deal. That's a tough deal, man. And, yeah, they're professionals. They're supposed to be able to shake it off and get back out there and perform and do their, you know, do their jobs. And they did their jobs, but it's hard to do your jobs that do it 100%, or not necessarily 100%, but be focused on the task at hand, which is already a tough-ass task, you know? And then you've got that on top of it, man. That's a tough deal. And, you know, you know the personal connection with Waddle and Tua, you know, from the Alabama days. Teddy talking about and reflecting on the fact that when he was, you know, he doesn't remember when he was knocked out, so he knows that feeling. Then you gotta sit there and you gotta play a football game. It's a different football game if it's a 1 o'clock when there's 10 other 1 o'clock games on. This is a Thursday night game where everybody's watching, man. And my phone was blowing up, like your phone was blowing up, Seth, like yours was blowing up, Travis, about this whole situation. And for us, we were shook. We were shook in the green room watching it, man. So, I mean, these guys are professionals, and you know. Tua's going to be – we're counting on Tua to be okay. And I'm counting on him to be fine. But these guys have to figure out a way to get back to work, unfortunately, and no matter what the circumstances, and do their jobs. And that's what's going to be the thing moving forward. Like we said earlier, it's good that we have a few more days extra this week. Yeah. For guys, maybe even – I wouldn't be surprised if coaches didn't say, I don't want to see you guys till Monday afternoon or something. Don't even – you know what I mean? Just don't – just
come in
away.
And get checked out with the medical staff.
Exactly.
And then,
those guys that need to see medical. And there's some guys that are going to have to do sick call. Of course, sick call, you know, sometimes sick call is just in and out, you know. Just make sure you show your face real quick. But I wouldn't want to see these guys until Monday. You know, let them get away from the game for a little bit. Let them spend time with their families. Let them reflect on what's important about life, and then that can refocus about what's going on in football.
Let me ask you this, Drew. So once you get past today, and, you know, it sounds like he's going to be on the plane. They're going to be able to spend some time with him. Hopefully they've got someone who's going to drive him home. Hopefully someone's going to be able to watch him through the night, right, as all the things you're supposed to do when you're in a concussion protocol. once you get through the emotion of that, once you get to see him in the training room and you see him smiling and all of those things, do you, and you find out whatever the period of time is going to be, are the players now, do they need to shift their thought process, their approach to practice, preparing for the next game? To, it's no different at this point if he had a high ankle sprain and was going to be out 3 weeks or whatever it might be. Like, it's, you know, you understand it tonight in the moment, seeing him getting carried off on a stretcher like that. How's he doing? What's the update? But once you know what it is, at that point, they have to focus on whoever's, you know, it's going to be Teddy, whoever's going to be named the starting quarterback. What does the offense need to look like with Teddy as a starting quarterback? How do we prepare for the New York Jets?
Yeah. Fortunately, I've only seen guys, I guess it's fortunate, not fortunate for those guys, but I've never seen a guy down with that type of injury, you know, on my team. I've seen it, obviously, we've all seen it on TV. But you see guys go down with, you know, with knees and things like that. Saw Danny go down with the Achilles. And so, yeah, so at some point you do have to not turn the page, but you have to refocus on what the task at hand. And, you know, the fact that Tua is on the plane tonight is one of the biggest things, best things I heard, considering what we saw.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a really, really good sign. And I'm sure that it's going to make a lot of his teammates feel better seeing him on that plane, because we've seen situations where guys not just spend the night, not just two nights. Some guys have spent multiple nights in a hospital, you know, on the road after getting hurt at a game that, you know, on the road. We've seen guys that still haven't been released, and the fact that he was released is pretty incredible, man. And I think a lot of it too is the fact that the medical staff jumped on it right away. They got him to one of the best hospitals. Who tweeted?
Yeah, I don't know who.
Shazier. Ryan Shazier said that, you know, that the UC medical staff is a great staff, and I'm sure that they got everything taken care of right away to make sure that Tua was stable enough to make a – not stable, in terms of, like, that the flight wouldn't affect him any more than what it was. So,
how are we on time? Because I have another point I want to bring up, since we're talking about people having to do their jobs.
Go ahead.
Okay, so it's a little bit of a pivot from what we're talking about, but there were two things, and this is more on the media side. Number one – there's a lot of discourse right now on social media and what have you about what should have been done, how should this have been handled, and then there's other people saying, well, wait a minute. How are you now, just because you have access to Twitter, more of an expert than somebody who, you know, has a degree in being a doctor that focuses on brain matter, as the coach said, or what have you? And we're hearing a lot of questions. We heard a lot of questions for the head coach. We heard a lot of questions for Teddy Bridgewater, who finished as a starting quarterback, or not starting quarterback, but as QB1, I guess, finished the game. I imagine there were other players that had to answer other questions about concussions and Tua and so on and so forth. You have to give credit to the beat writers. It is their job to ask these questions. I think if they are challenging people and they're challenging their morals and their ethics, that's one thing. But if they're trying to gather information so they can report it accurately, rather than just coming up with their own decisions or their own thought processes to how something should have been handled, I give a lot of credit to those guys for doing their jobs, those guys and those women. I'm a little disappointed in Amazon. I got to tell you, Amazon, I've watched two games now on Thursday night. They do a great job. They put on a great – whatever that thing was where you guys were able to pull up those stats, that was incredible. I'm an old guy. I don't know how in the world they're tracking the routes, all the stats. Troy Drayton said, hey, call me. Check this out, what they're doing. So they're putting on that's a great experience if you have Amazon Prime and you actually can watch the darn game. It is a great experience. But I did not need to see 4, 5, 6, however many replays that of Tua and the injury and his hands and the zooming in. We saw it live. If you replayed it once, I think at some point, you know, is it their responsibility? And you guys may feel differently. I don't know. I saw J.J. Watt tweeted, please stop playing the replay. I was disappointed that they continued to show it, not just because I'm a Dolphins fan or what have you, but just if we care about players, put players first. We saw what happened. You can discuss it. You can show the injury from the previous week. You can talk about it, have all the discourse, but do we need to continue to see him there with the, you know, I think part of what made this so scary, guys, was the position that his hands were in.
Yeah,
and that was scary. How many times did they need to replay that?
Yeah.
There was a similar one last year in the Chargers-Chiefs game when a guy was down in the back of the end zone with his arms. It's called the fencing, I think it was the term I saw, the neurological response to, you know, a head injury like that. And same situation. I don't get why they do it, but they do it. So I guess that's the approach they take. But let's go ahead and take a break right there, guys. Kind of heavy stuff. We'll go on to the next segment here, into the drive of the game. Dolphins postgame is driven by Gunther Mazda. For car buying done your way, you've got to get to Gunther Mazda. Again, the final score from Cincinnati, Dolphins 15, Bengals 27. You're listening to the Fifth Quarter Overtime Show brought to you by the Palm Beaches.
You're listening to Dolphins Football on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
Tomorrow afternoon, Hawk and Crowder are talking Dolphins. AM 560 Sports, WQAM.
Give your actions more traction in the all-new Kia Sportage X-Pro with multi-terrain all-wheel drive. With the right tools, anything is possible. And it's tough to pick a drive of the game in a losing effort. We had a couple of options here, but let's go ahead and get to our Lexus drive of the game, brought to you by the all-new Lexus RX. Never lose your edge in our most evolved model yet. Experience amazing at your Lexus dealer. The Dolphins got back on top in the third quarter with a field goal drive punctuated by this long play to Tyreek Hill.
Bridgewater out of the shotgun again. Mostert remains the running back. Play action fake back to throw. Teddy wants it all deep downfield. And it's caught by Tyreek Hill. He's inside the five at the four-yard line. What a throw and catch.
What great concentration by Tyreek Hill to come down with that ball. Boy, once he saw that was one-on-one and no help, but that is great concentration. It went up in the air a second time. He comes down with it.
I think I really have two reactions and takeaways from that. Number one, you heard Joe Rose. They're getting excited about the concentration that Tyreek Hill has. And we talk about it every week about how this guy is way more than just his speed, which obviously is his calling card, but he has so many tools in the tool bag, as it were. But also, six plays, 88 yards, guys, and it winds up bogging down at the two-yard line. We go first and goal. Raheem Mostert, three-yard run. Raheem Mostert, no gain. Teddy Bridgewater, incomplete pass to Tyreek Hill. And then Jason Sanders comes on and gives the Dolphins a 15-14 lead with 2:43 to play in that third quarter. But it feels like that opportunity right there and the Chase Edmonds drop in the end zone in the first part of the game, it kind of seems like those 8 points right there, guys, really could have made a big difference. I mean, obviously it could have made a big difference, but I keep on hanging on to that is kind of my go-to there.
Yeah.
Takeaway.
Yeah, it's a big opportunity loss right there. It really was, man. And, you know, we talked about our, you know, goal line defense and how good it's been. But, I mean, that was a big-time come-up for those guys as well. You know, even the drop still led to, before that, we still couldn't get in before the drop for Chase Edmonds. Also, you know, we had a first and goal in the five after that concentration catch by Tyreek Hill, and we still can't get in. So I think that lies another thing we need to work on right there. You know, our inside, you know, inside the 5-10 yard line offense needs to be better. Can't settle for field goals. You know, you get down there, you make big plays. You got four or five opportunities to get in the end zone. Got to get in the end zone. We're better away from outside the red zone, it seems like, with explosive like plays, but we got to tighten it up when we get inside the five, which is hard enough to do in itself. So, yeah, big-time play right there from Tyreek, and the drive was important, but we got to get more than three out of that situation, and that's a big problem.
What do you think is the issue there, Juice? I mean, the running game, I think, was – we saw more plays out of the running game this game than we had seen in the previous three, but it still wasn't enough in those big moments. And when they get down there, if they become one-dimensional, right, because, I mean, it just seemed like they were running into a brick wall. I know there were a couple times where you felt that they're – well, was it 55 there that just seemed like he was uncovered and was just in a position to make some big plays? And you know, and I think back to some of the touchdowns that they did have when they were in goal-to-goal situations, and they were these phenomenal throws by Tua. And it's like, you know, that seems like it would be a hard way to make a living throughout an entire season, to have to thread the needle every time you're down there and not be able to push the ball in the running game.
Well, yeah, you know, we had two runs in that right there, run, and incomplete pass and field goal when we were there, first and goal from the five.
The protection kind of broke down on that incomplete pass,
exactly,
too, no?
Exactly, it did. Exactly, it did, man. And it's like, so we want to run the rock. We definitely want to run the rock. And but are we better off spreading it out and, you know, and passing the rock in some situations? I thought, you know, the run game, even though the numbers don't really reflect it, you know, in terms of, you know, yards per carry or you know, whatever, I thought for the most part it wasn't too bad. Rushing wasn't too bad. 22 carries for 85 yards, almost 4 yards a carry, you know, and I'll take that for, you know, for a game. But at the same time, you know, when we get down there, and we talked about this, who do we have that can bruise it down in goal line situations, short yardage situations?
We don't have Edmonds.
We don't have that guy.
Two touchdowns last week from Edmonds was the guy. But
Yeah, we didn't. And that's some situation where, you know, we looked at some of the guys but that we let go that could be bruisers. We need some bruisers, and we'll figure it out.
It's always nice to have a versatile backfield. Obviously, Raheem and Chase have all the speed in the world, but like you mentioned, could always be valuable to have a guy that can push the pile in those short yard situations. That was your Lexus drive of the game, brought to you by the all-new Lexus RX. Never lose your edge in our most evolved model yet. Experience amazing at your Lexus dealer. Dolphins postgame also driven by Gunther Mazda. For car buying done your way, you've got to get to Gunther Mazda. Again, the final score from Cincinnati, Bengals 27, Dolphins 15. You're listening to the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
Miami Dolphins football, live on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
Tomorrow afternoon, Hawk and Crowder are talking Dolphins. AM 560 Sports, WQAM.
Dolphins fans, you can be here for live NFL action all season long as the official ticket marketplace of the NFL. Ticketmaster has a wide selection of tickets, so you never miss a single play. Score tickets today at Ticketmaster.com/Dolphins. And since the Dolphins aren't playing on Sunday this week, let's go ahead and fire up the music. We typically do scores around the league in this segment because it's a Thursday night and no one has played a game yet. We're going to look ahead at the schedule. And it's a busy slate, and we have a full day of NFL action on Sunday, guys, because Vikings and Saints will kick it off. And is that primetime in the AM? I know it's the only game on TV. Do you call that primetime?
I thought they called it drive time.
That is drive time if you're going to church, I guess.
Yeah.
That's the London game over there overseas. What games stand out to you guys here? I have one in particular I'm looking forward to, especially, you know, given the fact that we're chasing them in the division, or I guess they're chasing us, but Baltimore and Buffalo. Juice, what do you think about that game?
That's a huge one. That really is that's a big game right there. You know, two teams that we've already beaten in the conference, which are very important. Of course, beating Buffalo within our division is very important. For us, we've got to be rooting for Baltimore in this game.
Go Ravens.
Go Ravens, big time, at home to beat up on the Buffalo Bills, and that's a huge game. It's going to be fun. That's going to be a fun one to watch as well.
Any games on here you like, Big Seth? I know it's maybe it's a Sunday off for you. I don't know. Maybe you're watching.
I mean, it's definitely a Sunday off for me, but yeah, I want to see what the other teams in the division do. So, you know, definitely that Buffalo Baltimore is the premier game, but you know, let's see what the Packers can they topple New England. You know, it'd be great to see everybody else in the division take
that'd
an L as well and not
that'd
have to lose any ground.
That'd
like
be
Brian Hoyer, quarterback for the Patriots, as well as Mac Jones. They're being coy about that ankle injury, although I thought earlier I saw something like four games and talking about possibly playing him. Who knows what the hell's going on in New England?
Well, he looked pretty hurt there in that meme.
Well, so I kind of hope he does play, because then you look at the reaction he had. It's like, Mac, come on, let's go. But he's telling you're not Paul Pierce here, getting taken off on the wheelchair, then coming back and playing the fourth quarter of the same game.
God, NBA guys,
it's something else. A couple of other games I'm looking forward to: Eagles and Jags is a good one. You know, Juice mentioned this, and I kind of forgot about it. They're the only unbeaten team in the NFL right now.
Right.
And the Doug Peterson revenge game for the Jacksonville Jaguars is a fun one. Also in the AFC South, Titans and Colts. I don't know if you guys pay much attention to that. Kind of, it's not a popular rivalry, but it's a good one in my opinion. There's always some good hitting in that game, and they always kind of get a little bit chippy as well. And then, guys, the primetime games: Chiefs at Bucks. I hope it's in Tampa.
I think it is.
That's good to hear. Because
I might make a trip up there for that.
They were talking a minute about possibly bringing it down here. I was like, I'm going back.
Yeah, I was going. I called the Dolphins. See, you know, they said it's probably going to be a closed game, though, if it was here. Whatever that means. You know, nobody can go.
But you're going to go north. You call Mike Panic?
I might go to Tampa.
All right. Northwest.
What do you mean closed game? Like they wouldn't let anybody in?
Correct.
Really? That would be strange. I remember there was one year, might have been right after you retired, Juice, we had a game that was supposed to be against San Diego.
Oh, I can tell you a story about that one. I was the advance man.
Let me know.
Yeah, well, I mean, we woke up, walked out of the hotel. These guys are getting ready to go on the charter. I'm already in San Diego, and it smelled like the Everglades were burning. Yeah. And we were a long way from the Everglades, and they, you know, they had the fires there. And I was on the phone with the league and on the phone with the Dolphins, and these guys were in the air, and they're flying over. And this was supposed to be Junior Seau's return to San Diego, his first game back as a, you know, not as a Charger. And they were debating on were they going to keep the game, where were they going to move it. And so they land, our team lands. I jump on the plane with them, and then we fly to Arizona. Right? We land, and we go to a hotel. They, I think, refueled the plane or what have you. We go to Arizona. You start, all the shenanigans that we saw at the University of Cincinnati today. We went and played that game. Was that at Arizona, University of Arizona State?
Yeah.
And they opened that up for free for the college students.
Right.
And that was a circus.
Yeah. And you know how hard it is to do something like that, man, because honestly, look, the equipment trucks, especially on West Coast trips, they take off way ahead of time, So if you're already you should be almost there by the time the team's about to land, then you got to leave, California and head to Arizona. It's a lot of logistical stuff that's a nightmare a lot of times.
It's unbelievable.
I hope you didn't unpack the truck.
I wouldn't think so. They don't usually beat it because I think Bo Camper on our last podcast told a story about the equipment truck breaking down.
You didn't anticipate that coming?
Right. Well, I don't think they were going to unload without Tony.
Right.
That would have been not fun for those guys. But, yeah, it was quite a tall order for our team. San Diego all of a sudden loses a home game. And, and then the league had to make those decisions. And obviously you got to do what's best for the health of the players. How can you hold a game? Where can you hold the game? Are you going to have fans? Are you not going to have fans? So it was fascinating. It was definitely a learning experience for me. And it was a circus-like atmosphere. College kids they had lost their damn minds in the stands there.
Well, you seen like the waste.
It was like Woodstock.
You seen like the Waste Management Open over there in that area.
It's
in
exactly
Phoenix
that.
As well. Yeah, it's like they're out of control over there.
It was wild.
Phoenix is the Scottsdale area. It's a great place.
Well, you're pretty close with Rob Gronkowski. Isn't that why he chose Arizona to go to the party school?
I don't know if that's why he chose it, but I'm sure that if it wasn't a party school when he got there, it sure as heck was when he left.
He's talked about that a lot. He's what a character. He's great. Still does not have the angle, but he is still great. That last game I think that got moved was a primetime game with the, I think it was the 49ers played in Cardinal Stadium, was the most recent one a couple of years back against the Buffalo Bills. And that's my final pick of the week, is the primetime game on Monday night, Rams and Niners, mainly because every Niners loss we see this year makes our draft pick go up a little
there
bit. So
go.
Looking at that game on Monday night, a good rivalry, the NFC Championship. What's the word I'm looking for? It's late, guys. Rematch. Rematch.
Yeah. Rematch is a good
that's
word.
That's a word in the language
works.
We speak. So that's what I'm looking forward to this week. Week 4 in the National Football League. We'll come back on the other side and get to the podcast network and what's coming up next. Dolphins postgame is driven by Gunther Mazda. For car buying done your way, you've got to get to Gunther Mazda. Again, the final score from Cincinnati, Bengals 27, Dolphins 15. You're listening to the Fifth Quarter Overtime Show brought to you by the Palm Beaches.
This is the official Miami Dolphins radio network, where Dolphins fans live.
The Porpoise Pod, the newest Miami Dolphins podcast, hosted by Tobin and Solana. Listen for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're with you for one more segment here on the Fifth Quarter Overtime Show. But before that, let's go ahead and pause 15 seconds so our stations can ID themselves. You're listening to the Miami Dolphins radio network.
WQAM Miami, WPOW HD2 Miami, WKIS HD2 Boca Raton, home of the Miami Dolphins, powered by NHR and Levine Accident Attorneys.
Call 1-800-747-3. That's 1-800-747-3733.
Unbeatable fans like you deserve unbeatable mileage, so next time you fill up, choose Chevron with Techron. Find a station near you on the Chevron app. And there was a couple of notes I put in here before all the press conferences started, and this happens every week on the show where things get bumped to the back, but I want to make a quick mention. Juice mentioned it earlier, the running game, but really the offensive line, because I want to give some flowers here at 1:15 in the morning, which is just so fitting for an offensive lineman, to Connor Williams and Teron Armstead, because both of those guys right now through four games, and we got a chance to watch, to me, the viewing experience tonight was the best we've had because of the multiple screens and the All-22 and going back. But through three games of tape and now one game live with some All-22, Connor Williams and Teron Armstead are both playing at an all-pro level through four games, guys.
That was fun to watch. It really is, man. And it's amazing that you've got, two fifths that are really solid and doing some things. But we got some guys that have to step it up because it only takes one. You're only as good as your weakest link on the offensive line. And when you got these leaks and you got guys running free and you got a guy that, that's untouched at linebacker position, getting our guys in the backfield or tackle for loss or tackle for zero gain, we've got to get guys off of guys, in terms of getting off blocks or getting to the next level. We're not getting to the next level enough in these situations because we've got such home run hitters. Look, these teams are playing cover two. We talked about it. They're playing cover two, some form of cover two. Tampa two, two-man, regular two. They're daring us to run the ball, you know. But those guys actually went out there, and they were doing their job and getting things done. But we all have to get it done because we should be able to run in these situations with the backs that we have and some of the linemen that we do have out there.
I do think it'll continue to get better because there is so much that McDaniel does in the running game. And that was his job for the Niners for a few years there. He would lock himself in a closet and game plan for three.
Miami Dolphins football, live on the Miami Dolphins radio network.
Tomorrow afternoon, Hawk and Crowder are talking Dolphins. AM 560 Sports, WQAM.
Dolphins fans, you can be here for live NFL action all season long as the official ticket marketplace of the NFL. Ticketmaster has a wide selection of tickets, so you never miss a single play. Score tickets today at Ticketmaster.com/Dolphins. And since the Dolphins aren't playing on Sunday this week, let's go ahead and fire up the music. We typically do scores around the league in this segment because it's a Thursday night and no one has played a game yet. We're going to look ahead at the schedule. And it's a busy slate, and we have a full day of NFL action on Sunday, guys, because Vikings and Saints will kick it off. And is that primetime in the AM? I know it's the only game on TV. Do you call that primetime?
I thought they called it drive time.
That is drive time if you're going to church, I guess.
Yeah.
That's the London game over there overseas. What games stand out to you guys here? I have one in particular I'm looking forward to, especially, you know, given the fact that we're chasing them in the division, or I guess they're chasing us, but Baltimore and Buffalo. Juice, what do you think about that game?
That's a huge one. That really is that's a big game right there. You know, two teams that we've already beaten in the conference, which are very important. Of course, beating Buffalo within our division is very important. For us, we've got to be rooting for Baltimore in this
game. Go Ravens.
Go Ravens, big time at home to beat up on the Buffalo Bills, and that's a huge game. It's going to be fun. That's going to be a fun one to watch as well.
Any games on here you like, Big Seth? I know it's maybe it's a Sunday off for you. I don't know. Maybe you're watching.
I mean, it's definitely a Sunday off for me, but yeah, I want to see what the other teams in the division do. So, you know, definitely that Buffalo Baltimore is the premier game, but you know, let's see what the Packers can they topple New England. You know, it'd be great to see everybody else in the division take an L as well and not have to lose any ground.
That'd be
awesome. Brian Hoyer, quarterback for the Patriots, as well as Mac Jones. They're being coy about the ankle injury, although I thought earlier I saw something like four games, and I talking about possibly playing him. Who knows what the hell's going on in New England.
Well, he looked pretty hurt there in that meme.
Well, so I kind of hope he does play, because then you look at the reaction he had. It's like, Mac, come on, let's go, buddy. You're not Paul Pierce here getting taken off on the wheelchair, then coming back and playing the fourth quarter of the same game.
God, NBA guys, man.
It's something else. A couple of other games I'm looking forward to. Eagles and Jags is a good one. You know, Juice mentioned this, and I kind of forgot about it. They're the only unbeaten team in the NFL right now.
Right.
And the Doug Peterson revenge game for the Jacksonville Jaguars is a fun one. Also in the AFC South, Titans and Colts. I don't know if you guys pay much attention to that. Kind of, it's not a popular rivalry, but it's a good one in my opinion. There's always some good hitting in that game, and they always kind of get a little bit chippy as well. And then, guys, the primetime games. Chiefs at Bucks. I hope it's in Tampa.
I think it is. Sure. Yeah.
That's good to hear.
I might make a trip up there for that.
They were talking a minute about possibly bringing it down here. I was like, I'm going back.
Yeah, I was going. I called the Dolphins. See, you know, they said it's probably going to be a closed game, though, if it was here. Whatever that means. You know, nobody can go.
But you're going to go north. You call Mike Panic?
I might go to Tampa.
All right. Northwest.
What do you mean closed game? Like, they wouldn't let anybody in?
Correct.
Really? That would be strange. I remember there was one year, might have been right after you retired, Juice. We had a game that was supposed to be against San Diego.
Oh, I can tell you a story about that one. I was the advance man.
Let me know.
Yeah, well, I mean, we woke up, walked out of the hotel. These guys are getting ready to go on the charter. I'm already in San Diego, and it smelled like the Everglades were burning. Yeah. And we were a long way from the Everglades, and, you know, they had the fires there. And I was on the phone with the league and on the phone with the Dolphins, and these guys were in the air, and they're flying over. And this was supposed to be Junior Seau's return to San Diego, his first game back as a, you know, not as a Charger. And they were debating on where they going to keep the game, where were they going to move it. And so they land, our team lands. I jump on the plane with them, and then we fly to Arizona. Right, we land, and we go to a hotel. They, I think, refueled the plane or what have you. We go to Arizona. All the shenanigans that we saw at the University of Cincinnati today. We went and played that game. Was that at Arizona State?
Yeah.
And they opened that up for free anybody, for the college students.
Right.
And that was a circus.
Yeah. And you know how hard it is to do something like that, man, because honestly, you know, look, the equipment trucks, especially on West Coast trips, they take off way ahead of time, you know. So if you're already you should be almost there by the time the team's about to land, and you got to go leave, you know, California and head to Arizona. It's a lot of logistical stuff that's a nightmare a lot of times.
It's unbelievable.
I hope you didn't unpack the truck.
I wouldn't think so. They don't usually beat it. Because I think Bo Camper on our last podcast told a story about the equipment truck breaking down.
What, you didn't anticipate that coming?
Right. Well, I don't think they were going to unload without Tony.
Right.
You know, so that would have been not fun for those guys. But, yeah, I mean, it was quite a tall order for our team. San Diego all of a sudden loses a home game. And, you know, and then the league had to make those decisions. And obviously you got to do what's best for the health of the players. How can you hold a game? Where can you hold the game? Are you going to have fans? Are you not going to have fans? So it was fascinating. It was definitely a learning experience for me. And it was a circus-like atmosphere. College kids doing they had lost their damn minds in the stands there.
Well, you seen like the waste,
it was like Woodstock.
You seen like the Waste Management Open over there in that area,
it's
in
exactly
Phoenix
that
as well. Yeah, it's like they're out of control over there.
It was wild.
Phoenix is the Scottsdale area. It's a great place.
Well, you're pretty close with Rob Gronkowski. Isn't that why he chose Arizona to go to the party school?
I mean, I don't know if that's why he chose it, but I'm sure that if it wasn't a party school when he got there, it sure as heck was when he left.
He's talked about that a lot. He's what a character. He's great. Still does not have the angle, but he is still great. The last game I think that got moved was a primetime game with the, I think it was the 49ers played in Cardinals Stadium, was the most recent one a couple of years back against the Buffalo Bills. And that's my final pick of the week, is the primetime game on Monday night, Rams and Niners, mainly because every Niners loss we see this year makes our draft pick go up a little
there
bit. So looking at that game on Monday night, a good rivalry, the NFC Championship. What's the word I'm looking for? It's late, guys. Rematch. Rematch.
Yeah. Rematch is a good
word.
That's a word in the
language
works
we speak. So that's what I'm looking forward to this week. Week 4 in the National Football League. We'll come back on the other side and get to the podcast network and what's coming up next. Dolphins postgame is driven by Gunther Mazda. For car buying done your way, you've got to get to Gunther Mazda. Again, the final score from Cincinnati, Bengals 27, Dolphins 15. You're listening to the Fifth Quarter Overtime Show brought to you by the Palm Beaches.
This is the official Miami Dolphins radio network, where Dolphins fans live.
The Porpoise Pod, the newest Miami Dolphins podcast, hosted by Tobin and Solana. Listen for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're with you for one more segment here on the Fifth Quarter Overtime Show. But before that, let's go ahead and pause 15 seconds so our stations can ID themselves. You're listening to the Miami Dolphins radio network.
WQAM Miami, WPOW HD2 Miami, WKIS HD2 Boca Raton, home of the Miami Dolphins, powered by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys.
Call 1-800-747-3. That's 1-800-747-3733.
Unbeatable fans like you deserve unbeatable mileage, so next time you fill up, choose Chevron with Techron. Find a station near you on the Chevron app. And there was a couple of notes I put in here before all the press conferences started, and this happens every week on the show where things get bumped to the back, but I want to make a quick mention. Juice mentioned it earlier, the running game, but really the offensive line, because I want to give some flowers here at 1:15 in the morning, which is just so fitting for an offensive lineman, to Connor Williams and Teron Armstead, because both of those guys right now through four games, and we got a chance to watch, to me, the viewing experience tonight was the best we've had because of the multiple screens and the All-22 and going back. But through three games of tape and now one game live with some All-22, Connor Williams and Teron Armstead are both playing at an all-pro level through four games, guys.
That was fun to watch. It really is, man. And it's amazing that you've got, you know, two fifths that are really solid and doing some things. But we got some guys that have to step it up, because it only takes one. You're only as good as your weakest link on the offensive line. And when you got these leaks and you got guys running free and you got a guy that, you know, that's untouched at linebacker position, getting our guys in the backfield or tackle for loss or tackle for zero gain, you know, we've got to get guys off of guys, you know, in terms of getting off blocks or getting to the next level. We're not getting to the next level enough in these situations, because we've got such home run hitters. Look, these teams are playing cover two. We talked about it. They're playing cover two, some form of cover two, Tampa two, two-man, regular two. They're daring us to run the ball, you know. But those guys actually went out there, and they were doing their job and getting things done. But we all have to get it done. because we should be able to run in these situations with the backs that we have and some of the linemen that we do have out there.
I do think it'll continue to get better because there is so much that McDaniel does in the running game. And that was his job for the Niners for a few years there. He would lock himself in a closet and game plan for 3 days just in the running game. You have, you know, guards pulling out against the, you know, it's basically a bunch of missed keys for the linebackers juice to get those guys flowing the wrong way. But that, the pass protection, I think, has been pretty good on the offensive line.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Yeah. We can't ignore the pass pro. I mean, that, you know, listen, what has the pass pro been like for the last decade here? And it didn't matter how many number one draft picks they had on the offensive line, whatever it was. We saw guys getting the snot knocked out of them.
Yeah.
There was one sack today. And granted, we know what the result of that sack was. Yeah. Truth be told, and I hope this doesn't come out the wrong way, because I'm not blaming Tua for getting hurt. But, you know, I can't wait for you to watch the All-22 and see what happened there. Was there an opportunity for him to get rid of that ball sooner? I don't know. It seemed like he held it for a long time. Clearly, his first read wasn't there. He went the other way and held on to it for a little bit.
It seemed like he went back into danger. He really should have, you know, stayed out where he was. But you know what? Hindsight's 20/20. You know, if he does make that play and makes a big throw somewhere, then we, you know. But yeah,
yeah. And I'm just analyzing the play, not the result of the play.
Right.
But if we're talking about the offensive line and their pass protection, I mean, you talk about clean pockets and giving, whether it was Tua, whether it was Teddy, an opportunity to get the rock there to the playmakers. I think those guys have really stepped up.
Yeah, it's been a big time function, and that's part of the reason why you can take those deep shots we saw in this game, because that pass protection. So those guys, I think Rob Hunt's playing really well, and then obviously you replace Austin Jackson at right tackle. Hopefully he comes back here sooner than later. Hopefully we get Byron Jones back in the secondary too. Hopefully these 10 days off can get this team a little bit healthier here heading into the second quarter of the season, finishing up the first quarter at 3-1. Drive time recap later for you guys this morning. Sounds weird to say that. We'll have the All 22.
You gotta get busy tonight. You got more work to do tonight.
Yeah, it's and my wife flies out tomorrow night, so it's going to be a long week.
So you're going home to record a podcast.
A podcast, yeah.
Yeah, I want to make sure a podcast, yes.
It's pride.
It's 1:18 in the morning.
Yeah, I'm sorry I haven't been as flawless as you have been all night here at Wingfield, but yes, I want to call it a podcast because that's what we're going to call it. But so, you know what? I was about to get here and tell people to give you your flowers and celebrate the fact that not only did you watch this game, not only are you sitting here driving this show, but you're going to go home and record a podcast. But damn it, you know, whatever. I don't care. Go to sleep, folks. I don't care if you listen to Drive Time or not.
I learned my lesson though. Don't diss Seth when he's about to give
you right, a pump you up.
I appreciate that, man. Yeah, that's why I hate primetime games. Just letting you guys know, it's a long, long night. We'll have the All 22 recap sometime this weekend. Kind of depends on when that comes back. But then back on next Tuesday, I think, is my schedule, and then a regular Jets preview week from there. So you guys alluded to Kim Bocamper. We have 2 minutes left. He was in the tank last week. What's coming up this week on the fish tank, Big Seth?
My quarterback. Sage Rosenfels is coming up this week, man. It's going to be great. Now, Sage has some great stuff, and it's fun to talk about this relationship with Mike McDaniel from back in the day. Just in general, the backup quarterback role was a lot of fun, and Sage brought it, man. You know, Sage is really, really, really busy on social media and, you know, and talking football and talking a lot of different things, and, it, you know, we see why the quarterbacks are the smartest guys, man. He showed his intellect as well, man. So fun stuff with Sage.
He's great on social. He's fun to follow on Twitter.
Very good follow.
Sharp guy, great storytelling. And, you know, for those who don't know it, you just saw Sage Rosenfels. Wasn't he here as a backup quarterback? When Sage left Miami, he spent 3 years in Houston, and his offensive quality control coach was a guy by the name of Mike McDaniel. You know, his receiver coach and ultimately offensive coordinator was Kyle Shanahan. So you want to get some great insight on this offense and why Sage thinks we will continue to see this team seam guys wide open, take advantage even of your best players. He talked about how in Houston, Andre Johnson was the best player on the field wide open.
Yeah.
It was a combination of a real talented guy and some very talented coaches, and so some great insight from Sage there.
And that's a good way to end the podcast. Good way to end the radio show here. It's 1:20 in the morning, guys. Was that, you know, I lost my train of thought there too. So we're just going to close it up.
Yeah, great job.
Get the hell out of here. Yeah. Prior to that Baltimore game a couple weeks ago, Sage was the author of the largest fourth quarter comeback of the organization's back in 2005 against the Buffalo Bills, 3-touchdown comeback in that one. So there's some.
Yeah, we had a great chance to talk about that.
Perfect. I look forward to it.
Yes,
my point that was I was going to make was this offense makes you defend every blade of grass, and the Chase Edmonds drop in the back of the end zone signified that, but let's get the heck out of here. Mm. Antenna's up. Game
why
on.
Why'd you end it like that, man?
Because I'm tired. I want to go home.
Damn it.
Guy scored 3 touchdowns in the last 2 games, but it's the one he didn't make that we're focusing on.
Exactly. That's how it goes, man. That's what happens when you lose a game. Antenna's up. Game on. Score your favorite game and shows for free. Visit thefreetvproject.org to learn all about the free programming waiting for you, including Dolphins games. That's freetvproject.org. Thanks to Kim Bocamper, Joe Rose, and the voice of the Miami Dolphins, Jimmy Cephalo. Our executive producers and booth producer today was Alejandro Solana. Our studio producers, Jimmy Garcia, Trevor Harris, and Daniel Garcia. Is that right, guys? We good on that? Okay, good. Our radio booth engineer was Stephen J. Gray. For O.J. McDuffie and Seth Levitt, I am Travis Wingfield. The final score of today's game, Bengals 27, Dolphins 15. Dolphins football returns October 9th. Miami's going to be in the Meadowlands to face the New York Jets for the MetLife takeover. This has been the Miami Dolphins postgame show on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.